saying, good morning. They're not going to believe this, are they? We're just going to, should we just play this out?
Sure.
We did. So last week, for those of you who are new or our guests today, we have those whose English is a second language, and I begin to speak fairly fast. Last week, as Gustavo was giving a synopsis, is usually what I write him a synopsis of the message. And I give him that synopsis, then he translates it into Spanish, and he gives to our Spanish-speaking friends who understand it easier than English, especially at my pace, he gives them an understanding of what's happening on. Last week, he got a little carried away, and I noticed by his inflection, I think he was preaching if you were here. I asked him, are you preaching? He goes, yeah. So today, I kind of dropped a bomb on him, and it was right before the service. It was right before the service. So I said, Gustavo, we're not doing it like we normally do. This week, I just want you to put what God's put on your heart. I want you to share what God has put on your heart. And I said, so just because last week, I said, every week I tell you what to say. And so I think it's time that at least some, you know, once a year, I'll get it out of the way now, you know, from your heart. And so I asked him just to sit down there and write something. He did. I can't read it, but he did. And so he shared it last service. And just to our Spanish-speaking friends, this is just your heart. This is what you're talking about. So take it away.
Hola, buenos días. ¿Cómo están? Muy bien, muchas gracias por preguntar. Okay.
Sure.
La semana pasada estábamos hablando del tema de engancharnos, de comprometernos más a vivir a como Dios lo pide, pero también a ser humildes servidores. Y cuando pensé, y cuando me viene eso a la mente, me puse a pensar, ¿qué es ser un humilde servidor? ¿Y por qué Dios le da más preferencia a la persona que es humilde? Y cuando estaba pensando en eso, me topé en el libro de Santiago, el capítulo 4, versículo 6, que dice esto: pero Él nos da mayor ayuda con su gracia. Por eso dice en la Escritura: Dios se opone a los orgullosos, pero da gracia a los humildes. Ahora, ¿qué es para mí? Me puse a pensar, ¿qué es la palabra humildad? ¿Qué significa? Y busqué eso en un diccionario bíblico y dice esto: cualidad de la persona en cuanto a carecer de arrogancia y orgullo, tener una estima de valor personal. En otras palabras, es muy simple, diciendo que valoras a otros más que ti mismo. Ahora, no se refiere a que, oh, pobrecito yo, no, en otras palabras, diciéndote que eres lo menos. No, te está dando a entender que pones los intereses, los intereses, las necesidades de otras personas antes de los tuyos. Y ahí quedé con eso. Ahora, ¿por qué pensé en eso? Porque pensé en eso porque a veces vemos el servicio, ser un humilde servidor, como una obra negativa. No lo vemos como algo que le brinda honor a Dios. Y cuando pensé en eso, me topé en el libro de Juan 12:26, que dice: quien quiera servirme debe seguirme, y donde yo esté, allí también estará mi siervo. A quien me sirva, mi Padre lo honrará. Y lo que más resalta para mí es: donde yo esté, allí también estará mi siervo. En otras palabras, cuando estamos nosotros haciendo estas obras de honrar a otra persona, de valorar a otra persona, de ayudar a esa necesidad, Cristo está presente. Estamos demostrando a Cristo. Y es algo que nosotros a veces no tomamos en serio porque lo vemos como una obligación. Ahora, lo que yo veo es que engancharse, engage, no es solamente nomás un tema. Debe ser un estilo de vida.
Amen. Okay, wait. Okay. So, at the last service, I wasn't going to do this. I just thought, those who knew it, knew what he talked about. Those of us who don't, we don't. But he's kind of fired up, if you couldn't tell, huh? And so I asked, I said, how many of you, like me gringos, who don't understand a word he said, want to know what he said? Do you guys want to know what he said? Okay. So you will not believe this now, because I can disclaim it now. But you're not going to believe that we weren't in collusion on this about today, okay? After you hear the message of my message, which you really just heard in Spanish. But I gave him nothing except 5 minutes before the service to say what God has in his heart. Tell us, please, in English, what you just told them in Spanish.
Okay.
You don't have to read that all.
No.
I also noticed it grew.
There was a couple of things I had to add on there that I forgot. Well, no, as we were thinking last week, we were talking about engage. It really just kept sticking with me throughout the whole week. Actually, as soon as I left the service, it kept thinking, you know, keep sticking to me. And as I was thinking about engage, humble servant kept coming to me. Why it kept coming to me? I don't know. Obviously, God, right? But I asked myself, okay, well, as I'm thinking about that, and I was looking for something, I came across James 4:6, which says that, I have it right here. It says, but he gives us more grace. That's why scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So as I'm thinking about that, okay, well, what is humble? You know, and this is in my own words. It's pretty much someone who lacks arrogance, you know, self-pride, and puts other people's needs prior to theirs. So, you know, I think about that, and as I'm thinking about that, okay, but why at times, if we're supposed to be humble servants, we look at it as a negative thing. We look at it as, oh, it's an obligation. I have to do this for that person. Not really taking into consideration that God honors this. And so as I'm thinking of that, I come across John 12:46, which says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who stands out to me the most. It's not that the fact that, you know, I would guess it is important that God will honor those who serve me, but the fact that says Christ is saying, where I am, my servant will also be. In other words, we are to make great these acts to be a humble servant, and when we are helping those who need, or we're just serving at the church, we are demonstrating Christ. People are seeing Christ. In other words, He is there. Way of life.
they turned away from living idols. They turned the living God away from idols. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 talks about that. The living faith, where we walk that faith, that we consider God. And then the last usage, which really isn't implicated here, but just so you know, the last usage is the faith as a system of beliefs. Are you of the faith? Now, the result of saving faith, if you come to know Christ, when we give him our life, the result of saving faith is living faith, living that faith, living God's purpose for your life. That sounds so simple. That's one of those things. Okay, we want to live God's purpose for our life, but do we? Or do we live for our purpose for our life? And the dilemma that comes, the tension that comes in our life, is when we start to say, I'm going to live God's purpose in my life. We know that we should live God's purpose, but I'm living my purpose. I'm living for my life. I'm living for me. I am the most important. I am God. And there's a tension that comes when you're not living the way the purpose is, as a saving faith, not living the living faith that God brings to us. Living God's purposes. That's why in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Why? So that we can live the purpose, his workmanship created in us. There's a theologian, he was a great Bible teacher, named Howard Hendricks. Some of you who read know Howard, called him Howie. I grew up as a little kid, because my parents always, I was in that way, I had to go everywhere with church, and my camps were going to Bible camps with adults, not kids. So I heard some of the great, great George Root, Howard Hendricks, some of the great people. I at the time didn't appreciate it at 6 or 7 years old, listening to them expound the word. Boy, did I great come to appreciate that later on. Howard Hendricks says, listen, about James. James doesn't just strafe the deck. He drops the bomb right down the funnel. And that's exactly what he's not pussyfooting around. He's not saying, he says he's dropping that bomb right down the funnel. Now, the author, of course, is James. He says so. You can study that. There's four James in the Bible. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus. This is who wrote this book. And he says he's a servant. James 1:1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Very simple, isn't it? Identified himself, James, a servant of God. The servant, that word there being by choice. Not a slave in the sense of someone mastering me because I am living that way, but a servant by choice, a bond servant. One who willingly places himself under the control of his master. The picture of that is that, and it's especially in the Old Testament given, that if you were set free as a slave, that if you were set free, and you as a slave came back and said, no, I want to serve you. I want you to be my master. I willingly place myself under your control. I want to serve you. You did it by choice. And that's the picture here, that God, by choice we come and we want to serve God, that he is our master. We want to serve the Lord Jesus, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting here, because what we're talking about today is exactly the humble servant. It struck me as we started studying for even this series, I couldn't get past that first line. A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus. Because when we introduce ourselves, and when we come to show ourselves, often it's, hi, I'm Bill, I'm pastor of Grace Community Church. Or, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm this, I'm that. And many times it takes on an arrogance about us, a prestige about us, a certain image or glory or accomplishments or I've been published. Well, so have I. I'm a copy machine. I publish it and give it up. You know, whatever. I mean, the issue of all the things that we say, that, man, you know, here's the things that make us. James said, I, James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, write this to you. You better listen. Because I'm related. He could have said, James, I am the celebrated leader of the Church of Jerusalem. I'm the one who's going to hold the Council of Jerusalem. I, James, well known among the apostles. I, James. I, James. A servant. Isn't it weird? For me, it was weird that here he is going to take a book as you read James, and he is going to lay it down in love, but lay it down. Of a servant. of change, the message of change, that he begins with this humility. And yet we look at leaders, and there's leaders in churches, there are leaders in business, there are leaders in your field, whatever that may be, and you may be one of them. We try to build upon our prestige, upon making somebody think we're somebody that we're not, or that we want to be, or we search for all this, we try to climb the ladder. And James starts with a message of humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Consider others better than yourself. Now, I want to look at that for a minute, because the actual rendering in the Greek is consider others better. It's really not meaning just that, because what happens in that is many will preach and many will teach this issue of this total depravity, that we are totally depraved. We need a Savior. But once they come to know Christ, they still live in this woe, this me, I'm no good, I'm nothing, I have no, you know, listen, you were that way, but don't live as who you were, live as who you are. You were nothing, your righteousness was filthy rags, you bring nothing to the table, nothing. But he says, we come to the cross, when we come to the cross, we come that way, but he gives us his imputed righteousness, he places it upon us, he changes it, he makes us his child, all of these are your joint heirs with Christ. And we can live under that, and the message is that of humility. Valuing others is not the same as devaluing yourself. Listen, read that. Valuing others is not the same as devaluing yourself. Just because you may say, oh, I can't do this, I'm nothing. That doesn't hold up others. Do you think that really encourages others by you saying, I'm just nothing? Somebody can live that. Yes, man. Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those who think we bring anything to the table. We don't. We bring our total depravity to God, and God says, yes, your total depravity is right. It's not right. See, here's the problem. Try to love others. Value yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, I can't love my neighbor because I see my neighbor. Just devalue it all. Valuing others is not the same as valuing yourself. The actual rendering in Greek of that word, consider others better, is to hold up, to place above. You take others and hold them up, to place them above yourself. No matter where you're at, no matter what you do, it's not about your depravity, it's about you're looking at them and valuing them, and you're going to hold them up. You're going to place them above yourself and their needs above your needs and those issues. It's not a devaluing of yourself, trying to make yourself look like I'm so depraved. I'm so dumb. I'm such humility. I'm so humble. You're just a form of Christ. You're just a form of Christ. Do we think of others better than ourselves? Do we hold them up? Do their needs come first? Or do we look at others and value them? That's pride. Listen, pride negates our ability to influence others in Christ. Don't ever doubt. Pride on any level negates our ability to influence others in Christ. Even if you're right. You may be right in the issue. You're proudful about being right in the issue. Whatever that is. Thank you. there is no one unlovable in the economy of God. You and I make them lovable. And our pride and arrogance will think that I'm better. We would never say that of ourselves. I understand that. Because that's just like, wow, I don't want to. Yeah, I'm pretty proudful. I'm pretty arrogant. But in our hearts, the Spirit of God, even now, may be moving in your heart and saying, yeah, I have a pride problem. I have an arrogance problem. And how can I love others if I don't think they quite meet my standard? Engage to mature. Engage to serve. Living God's purposes. Listen, if you're not serving God, you're not living His purpose. You can't be. Because you are His workmanship to be engaged in. To hold others up. Man, in the nursery, in the stars, in toddlers, in youth, as serving to hold others, their needs up, that our kids have needs, that our youth have needs. We're going to place them above our needs of staying home watching a game. We're going to place that ministry above our needs. Emily came to me this morning. I said I'd probably do it next week, but it just fit as I came. Because she came to me, Pastor Bill, we need to have some changes. We need another leader. We need not just someone to watch the kids, but we need more of an administrative role. Well, somebody, excuse me, somebody, that's where we say, man, God, maybe that I can hold Emily up by helping her to do this. I can hold her up. I can consider her needs and the needs of those kids, not just me saying, well, I really don't want to be involved. Engage to hold above others. To hold others above myself. To hold above their needs. To hold above. To place above my needs. To place above my expectations. My desires. In so many ways, many of you do this. It's great. I mean, many of you do that even in our worship. You really do. Today we had Amazing Grace. And some of those who love Amazing Grace, that hymn, they'll love that. We're doing other things where Paul's rocking out on the guitar or whatever, whatever. But we've come to understand, I think, through education and through understanding that those of you who may not really appreciate that level or that style, you realize that, wait, there are people who really do, and God's going to grow them through that. And others who say, well, I really don't care for the old hymns, but guess what? I appreciate that that's where we come to mature. Why? Because we hold up not my needs in worship, but we're worshiping Him. And I'm going to hold up the needs of others. I love some of our seniors. I love all of our seniors. Okay, but there's some of our seniors who, they really don't care. They can't, I'm off the back of the menu now, so I mean, I can pretty much play that too. But there's some that these new songs, it's hard for them to sing because we grew up in a hymn-metered style. That's what we grew up in. Paul and these young punks, they don't understand that. They don't understand it. They grew up with abstract and funky syncopation and all kinds of stuff. They can sing it just like we, okay? But if you grew up singing hymns straight meter, it's tough. But you know what? I hear from our seniors, man, have you seen our kids worship? That's maturity. Do I really like that? Nah. Man, watch them worship. I thought our younger folks, quite frankly, we have the best group in the world. I thought our younger folks would have to be as the same. I really don't like the older stuff, but okay, the old folks need it. That hasn't been the case at all. At all. Our staff, our youth staff, our worship team has taught them, guess what? That's every bit as worship, and our young people love that just as much as the hip stuff that we may do. Engage to mature, to hold above others. Not about me. Come to the cross. And at the cross, on level ground, we are humbled. Come to know Christ. There's a humility that comes and says, God, I need a Savior. I know there are those who will teach just to add God to your life, backpack Jesus, put him on, take him again. I don't see that. I see it. Don't take backpack Jesus. In the name of Christ, you take up the cross of David. You come to the cross at levels ground, because I don't care who you are, rich, poor, black, white, fat, skinny, whatever you're, addict, non-addict, dealing with anorexia or dealing with crank, I don't care what it is. If we come to that cross, we come equal. All in need of a Savior. We should leave that cross in the same way. Humble. Matthew tells us in the book of Matthew that those who want to be exalted will be the ones who come in here. And yet those of us who think we need to be exalted and be arrogant or be proudful or serve God and isn't God lucky to have me, will be laid low. At the cross, and that's where we need to stand. Every day to look at that cross in our life and know, I need to engage. I come as a humble servant. May 2015 be the year that I measurably challenge my life in ways that maybe you've never even considered. To serve, to be in the Word, to pray, to share, to give, and to be faithful. Maybe it's just faith. To say, I'm gonna be in church. Not in a legalistic way, but in an engaging way that our faith may be lived. Now, on this side, you see why when he, this young man over here, shared what God was on his heart about a humble servant, I thought, they're never going to believe that we didn't have collusion. I was blessed in the first service. I thought that was amazing in the first service. Because I had a person come to me and say, I made a determination. I need to be involved in the faith of God. I'm back in church. And I'm really making a commitment to you. That was before the service. I mean, thanks, God. That's just what I needed. That affirmation that this is where we're headed. To be engaged. Will that person fail? Yes. Will we may miss? Yes, they may miss. But if the heart attitude says, I want to be engaged. I thought, God, there could be no greater blessing than that, regardless of what happens. I know that we're on the right track. When before the service even begins, someone comes to me and says, God's place is on my heart that I need to be engaged. I couldn't get any better than that. It did. Between services, a person in this room came to me. Wasn't in the first. He said, man, I need to be committed. I'm back. I need to be committed. You know who you are. Will you fail? Yes. You will. That's okay. I'll be perfect. But the desire of your heart should be the desire to engage at a new level. Wherever we're here, to say, God, it all begins at the cross. Not about us, not with pride saying, look at me, I have the perfect attendance button for church. No, it's look at me, God, I'm learning and growing, and I just want to be your humble servant. I want to be you. I want you. Let's pray. Father, at the cross is where we find healing, where we find strength, power. You took your sin upon us, placed it upon your Son. 3 days later, we experience the joy of the resurrection, and we have a living Savior who wants to have us a living faith. And so, God, today I pray that you'll meet your Spirit in the heart of every life here will challenge us. That it won't just be, wow, we're here, and then as we walk out the door, we forget it. May your Word be implanted in our heart. May you work in our desires and our emotions. May we stop the pride and arrogance. May we just desire to be humble servants. May we ever be grateful for the cross of the Lord Jesus that changes us, that forgives us, redeems us, and claims us and calls us children of God. We are thankful for that cross. Of course, in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Everything I once held dear. count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out, and bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down, and rid me of myself, I belong to you. Sin and death, now you're risen, yeah, and everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out, and bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down, and rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me to the cross. Lead me to the cross.
Go this week. Live with humility. Place others above yourself. Go this week and consider God in everything you do. Be a humble servant. Thank you guys so much for your giving, for your serving, for all that you do. If you'd like to pray, we have Mike and Donna right over there. Would love to pray with you guys, or you can